Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Beitza daf Mem, the very last daf of Maseches Beitza. We're holding on daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Landerer very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. So the Mishnah is going to talk about what if I have peros that are in a different city and the peros are outside of my Tchum Shabbos. So can people bring me my peros if they have an Eruv to be able to come to my city, or are they not allowed to bring me my peros because my peros are subject to my tchum and not to their tchum? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, if you have guests over, can you send them home with doggy bags with food to bring on the road? Because do we assume that the food that they bring with them is subject to their tchum and not to my tchum Shabbos? The Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether by a mafkid, when you are mafkid, you give some a shomer to watch, and we're going to try to connect, so whose tchum does it have? Does it have the din of the tchum of the bailim or of the shomer? And we try to connect that to a Mishnah about nezikin, about when you have something kept in somebody else's property, do we assume that you're chayiv or pater from nezikin that happened in that context? Then the Gemara is going to tell us a story of Rav Chana bar Chanilai hanging meat on a doorpost, and first we assume that that story teaches us something about tchum, but then the Gemara says, no, it's not really teaching us anything about tchum, it's teaching us about a different halacha called Basha Shenesaleim Mina Ayin. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to tell us the muksa status of different animals, and the Gemara is going to define what is an animal that you would define as Bayosos, and what would be Midbarios. How much time does the animal have to spend outside of the city for the animal to be considered Midbarios as opposed to Bayosos? And then at the end of the Masechta, the Amud Beis, the very tiny Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of how Rebbe can consider Midbarios to be Muktzah if Rebbe, it seems, doesn't hold a Muktzah at all. He holds of a very, very limited definition of Muktzah, only Grogros Vitzimokin, only that which your Muktzah Biyadayim by putting out to dry is going to be considered a Muktzah. So how could it be that Rebbe would consider Midbarios to be Muktzah? So anyway, let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So the Mishnah continues to discuss the dinim of Kinyan Shvisa of different objects, and the Mishnah discusses objects that are found in a different tchum, and you want them brought to you, meaning they're your objects, they belong to you, and you want them brought to you, or you're going outside of the tchum, and you want to bring objects that do not belong to you, or did not belong to you, ben hashmashos, outside of that tchum. So says the Mishnah, Mishayu peros of bi'er acheres. Let's say you own peros that are right now located in a different city, but you want to eat them on Yom Tov. Problem is, you don't have an eruv that allows you to travel to that different city. But the Irvu B'nai Oseir, members of that different city do have an Eruv that allows them to travel to you. So are they allowed to bring you your peros? So we said, Mishayu peros of Bi'er Acheres, the Irvu B'nai Oseir, Lahavi Yatzlomi peros of Lo Yaviu Lo. They want to bring you your peros, they cannot bring it to you because the city that the peros are in right now is outside of your Tchum Shabbos. And the peros have a din kiragle ba'aleyam. The din of the peros goes by the tchum of the owner of the peros. So you can't bring the peros at all because they're outside of the tchum. You're not allowed to move the items that are outside of the tchum more than dalet amos. Vim eruv hu, but if the guy himself who owns the peros made an eruv to be able to travel to that city, then peros of kamahu, then the peros can go wherever he's allowed to go. And since he's allowed to leave the city, he's allowed to travel to that city. So the peros are also allowed to travel from one of those cities to the other. Second case in the Mishnah, Misha Zimin Etzal Archim. If someone invited guests from a different city to come to him on Yom Tov, they have an Eruv that allows them to travel to your house to come enjoy a meal, a Yom Tov meal with you. Lo yulichu biadamanos. Do not give them packages of food to take back with them. Elim kein ziko lehem manoseya me'erev Yom Tov. Unless you were mezaked that food to them on Erev Yom Tov. Meaning, since Pampena Shmashos, they were not the owners of that food, the tchum of that food food is your tchum, it's not their tchum. Even though they may or may not be the owners of that food right now, meaning you're being makdir to them, or, you know, it's a question in halacha. If you have a bunch of guests at your house and you put food, and obviously bring out food to serve all the guests, so everyone takes a piece of chicken or whoever puts it on their plate, so whose chicken is that? That chicken that's on their plate, is that their chicken or is it your chicken? Pesach Yeshuva discusses in Ebenezer. Because, well, what's the shayla? Shayla is, you have a whole bunch of guests, young men, young women, all different people. Let's say you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're hosting yeshiva boys and seminary students or whatever, and a yeshiva boy is sitting right next to a seminary student. She seems like a lovely girl. And he says, I'm in luck. And he's got a piece of chicken right there. So he says, Hareya Mukadeshisli, Bitarnagal Zoo, Kadas Moshe V'Yisrael. First he said, two Edim, good, they look. Hareya Mukadeshisli, Bitarnagal Zoo, Kadas Moshe V'Yisrael. Is she Mukadeshes or Eina Mukadeshes? It depends whether we assume that it belongs to the Balabais, that chicken belongs to the Balabais, or it belongs to the members of the household. But over here, it's not really related to that, because over here, it really depends on who it belonged to, Ben HaShmashos. And during Ben HaShmashos, it certainly belonged to the Balabais, unless he was Mezakeh their manos to them on Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, the Orchim have been Kona that food on Erev Yom Tov. Because, and he does a Kinyan for them, the Rashi explains, because Zachon Adam Shalom Befanav, so since it belonged to them already by Ben HaShmashos, now they can take that food wherever they want to go with it. So Rashi sounds like he's saying that the only way to make it work is if you actually make a kinyan on their behalf. You make a kinyan meshicha on their behalf on Erev Yom Tov. Tosos raises the question, why do you have to make a kinyan on their behalf? Why on their behalf? Why doesn't it just help to identify that that this food is going to be for them? After all, in Daf Lamed Zayin, we said that by Shol Kli B'Yom Tov, that it's just good enough to identify. Kinyan isn't necessary. Just to identify that this is designated for them. The Rashba in the Tshuva in Chelek Dalet from Reish Sadi Zayin quotes those who explain that over here it does not mean to make a kinyan, that ain't a chinami, that the answer to Tosis Kasha is ain't a chinami. You don't need to make a kinyan. You just have to identify that it belongs to this person, that this is not a matter of kinyanim. Okay, so now says the Gemara, once we describe that the objects objects that belong to a person are subject to his own tchum, and you're not allowed to bring them beyond his tchum. So the Gemara discusses, what about someone who's a shomer on someone else's produce? So do we assume that they have the din of the person who is the shomer, or of the owner of those peiros, of those fruits? So and the Gemara is going to bring a raya. One of the rayas we're going to bring is from our Mishnah to try to be machriya in this machlokas. That's why this comes up over here. So itmar hamafkid peiros eitzel chaveru. Someone gives a pikadon to guard, to watch by somebody else. He gives peiros, he gives food for somebody else to watch. So rav amar karagle mishif kidulo. It's the shomer. It's the shomer's tchum that the peiros are limited to, because since they're right now under the shomer's control, under the shomer's watch, and he's the one that's achrayi for them. So they're kona shvisa kiragle hashomer. Yeshua wonders, how could it be that it's only Karagle HaShomer? As far as the Shomer is concerned, the Peros are not Mamono. At the most, they are Davar HaGorem L'Mamon. That if said, if there's something were to happen to them, he might be on the hook to pay for it. So at the worst, it's a Davar HaGorem L'Mamon. So L'Kala Pachos, we should say, that it's subject to both Tchumei Shabbos, that it's subject to the limitations of the Tchum of the Bailim and the Tchum of the Shomer. The Ran brings the Deya that in a chinami, that it's subject to both tchumei Shabbos. The Ran brings the idea that that's what it really means over here, that it's not purely the shomer's tchum, it's subject to the limitations of both the shomer and the bailim's tchum. So anyway, but that's Rav Shita. The Pashur reading of the Gemara is that it's purely the shomer's tchum. Ushmol amar karagle amafkid, that no, it's subject to the bailim's tchum. So that's the issue by a shomer. So says the Gemara, lema Rav Ushmol does l'tamayu, this is Rav and Shmuel l'shita sam, because Rav and Shmuel have another machlokas in a different context, in Nezikin, in Maseches Baba Kama. Ditnan, the Mishnah Maseches Baba Kama discusses that if you bring your objects into somebody else's chatzer, im hichnis b'rishos bala chatzer, if the bala chatzer tells you, yeah, no problem, bring your objects into my rishos, but he doesn't tell you beferish that he's being makabel shmira. He just says, yeah, bring it in, no problem. And then there's some nezek that happens to those objects. Chayiv, the bala chatzer is chayiv, because mistama, if he gave you rishus to bring your objects into the chatzer, he has kavana that it should be that he's taking responsibility for them and that he's going to be the shomer. It's as if he said, even though he didn't say it straight out, it's as if he said, yeah, yeah, bring it in and I'll take care of it and I'll watch it, I'll guard it. Rebbe Omer li'olamenu chayiv ad sheyikabel lo balabayis lishmer. Rebbe says, no, he's only going to be chayiv if he actually said so. He has to say, I'm being makabel achrayus to be shomer these peros. If he didn't say it, or these objects, if he didn't say it, then he is not a responsible shomer. V'amrav huna merav, halacha kidivrei chachamim. Rav paskins like the Tanakama, that mistama he's makabel shmira. He doesn't have to be explicitly be makabel shmira. U'shmol amar alach karebi. And Shmuel paskins like Rebbe, that mistama, he's not makabel shmira. He's only makabel shmira if he says that he's being makabel shmira. So now the Gemara is going to explain, what does one machlokas have to do with the other? We're talking about a shomer in terms of tchum Shabbos. Whose tchum do the objects are the objects subject to? The tchum of the shomer, the tchum of the bailum. What does that do with being chayiv for nezikin, chayiv for the damages that happened? What does one got to do with the other? So says the Gemara, lema rav to Da'amar Karabanan. Maybe Rav, who says that the tchum that we look at is the Shomer's tchum, is lishitaso in pasling like the Rabbanan, that mistama, the balachatzer, is mekabel shmira. That just like he pasles like the Rabbanan, that someone who gives rishus to bring something into his chatzer, we assume that those objects are now in his achrayus, he's taking full responsibility for them, and he now has to guard them, he has to protect them. So too, Rav says over here, that peros that come into my achrayus, they should also be subject to my tchum, meaning that the person whose property the peros are put in has an outsized role, has a very significant role in his connection to those peros. So as far as Nezikin is concerned, even without Beferish being Mekabel Achrayus, he's Achrayi for them, and therefore, as far as Tchum Shabbos is concerned, he has such a relationship with those peros that those peros are subject to his Tchum Shabbos. Ushmuel da Amar Karabi, and Shmuel, who says that the peros are Karabi, they're like they take on the status of not the shomer, but of the bailim. So he says, because he assumes like Rebbe, that someone has a chatzer and you put peros in his chatzer, he's not automatically being mekabel achrayus. He doesn't automatically generate a relationship with those peros. So mele, even when you have a real shomer, his relationship with the peros is not strong enough that the peros would come under his tchum. They remain under the bailim's tchum. That's the tenuous connection the Gemara tries to make between these two machlokos. Says the Gemara, that's not really a very strong connection at all, because if Amar Lach Rav will tell you, no, Anoda Amri Afilu L'Rebbe. I hold that the peros follow the Raglei HaShomer, even according to Rebbe, who holds that a Shomer Mistoma is not Mekabel Achrayus. Because I've come to come Rebbe Hasam, El De Bistoma Lo Kabel Enetusa. All Rebbe said was that if you tell a guy, yeah, you can leave your stuff in my backyard, that it doesn't mean that fellow is not being makabel achrayus to watch it. Avalacha, but over here that wasn't our shaila. Our shaila was that I'm a shomer. I was mekabel achrayus. Now I want to know whose tchum Shabbos it's subject to. It's an entirely different case. It's not just I told you, here, keep your stuff in my backyard. In our case that we raised the shaila about, I am a shomer. There's a pikadon, and therefore there's a shomer. So I did accept achrayus to be shomer. Question is, what does that do to tchum Shabbos? Aval hacha, kabel len nitirusa. You've been mekabel achrayus beferush. And now the question is it therefore subject to your Tchum Shabbos? So once you become a Shomer, Rebbe would agree that if you're Beferish Mekabel to be a Shomer, that it's going to be subject to your Tchum Shabbos. So that is how Rav would explain that it's not really subject to this Machlokas. In fact, that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. This Chilik is so obvious, it's hard to imagine why the Gemara thought that this was something that would be connected in the first place. There is a comment in the Tosos Rid who says that our Sugya must be talking about Stama also, that he said, here, bring your peros in, and he wasn't mekabel shmira beferish, and still Rav somehow finds a way to be mechalik between the Mishnah Baba Kama and our case, because according to Rebbe, Bistama he's not mekabel achrayus, but he's still mekabel that it will be in his rishus for Tchum Shabbos purposes, meaning what the Tosfos Rid does is he says it can't be that this is the chilek, because it's so obvious a chilek, how could the Gemara have had a avamina? No, it must be that our shaila was not that I was beferish mekabel to be a shomer, that even our shaila as far as tchum chumah's concerned was, I just told you to keep your parents in my backyard, and therefore, if you assume like those tanaim that hold that bestama your makabel to be the shomer, or even if you don't, regardless of how you hold in terms of whether you're makabel to be the shomer, the peros are still subject to your tchum Shabbos. I don't know, but the simple reading is like Rashi, that the Gemara just for whatever reason didn't think of this chilek beforehand when it suggested that these two machlokas are related to each other. Ushmol Amar, and Shmuel will tell you, Anada Amri Afilu Rabbanan, that I'll tell you, I who say that the peros are karagle hamafkid, meaning that it goes with the bailim's tchum Shabbos, I'll even hold like the Rabbanan who hold up his stomach, a person is mekabel to be the shomer. The Rabbanan will only say over there that when you put objects in the Bala Chatzar's property, that's because he's happy to have his ox in the Rishus of the Bala Chatzar. The Mazik Leilo Mechayev. So that if his shor is Mazik, the Bala Chatzar, the owner of the shor won't be Chayev in Ezekin. Because since Chum hold that the stomach, the Bala Chatzar is telling him, put your objects in my yard and I'm happy to watch them. So the Mafkid certainly is interested in that arrangement to put those objects under the full achrayus of the shomer. Because why do I have to worry about what my shor does when, you know, I have someone who's dog sitting for me or something? I don't want to have to worry about what my dog is doing at that time. Good, so let me be pater from any damage that it does at that moment. So he's very happy to make that arrangement that it's under your achrayus. Aval hach, but when it comes to a matter of tchum Shabbos, min nichle linish, do they compare it with Rishus Lidachavre? Do I really want my peros to be under your tchum Shabbos? No, I want my peros to be in your property so you could watch them. But as far as tchum Shabbos, I want access to my peros. I want my peros to be able to be where I am. I don't want my peros to be subject to your tchum Shabbos. I'm not going to be able to access them if I need them, if that's the case. So even the Rabbanan would hold that the peros are not karagli ashomer, because the zchus of the bailim, it's the rights of the bailim to not be makne the rights of tchum Shabbos to the shomer. He's happy to keep the rights of tchum Shabbos for himself. Now, if the bailim is in another city and he's not able to get to the peros, it's difficult to understand what the svara would be. Meaning, if I'm in another city anyway, and I don't have access to these peros anyway, and they're outside my tchum Shabbos anyway, why don't I give you the tchum Shabbos? Meaning, that's the case, right? The case was that I have peros that I give to a shomer, and those peros are not in my tchum Shabbos, so can the shomer move them at all? Or they have to stay in place because they're outside of their tchum Shabbos, because they're subject to the bailim's tchum Shabbos. What advantage do I have for that? What benefit do I have in having them just be immovable? That I have no access to them either. So that's a little bit difficult. The Achronim raise that kasha. Also, the idea that we're going to say that when it comes to being Makabel Shmira, certainly the person who's giving the Pikadon is very happy to have it given over entirely to the Shomer, because he doesn't want to have to worry about Nezikin. So he said, I don't want to have to worry if my ox gores, hurts the Shomer. So I'm very happy that the Shomer is taking responsibility for that. That L'chora only works if it's an ox, meaning the Rishonim were trying to work out what's the Svara if it's anything else, if it's not something that's likely to damage. It's fruits, right? It's not something that's likely to cause damage. So you have to say that anything could technically cause damage or whatever. So he's taking he's more than happy to give it over to the shomer. So anyway, so we're still back to the shayla, right? The shayla, just because we had a machlokas over here, but we don't have any rayas yet. So again, the shayla was a mafkid peros eitzel chavero. I give my peros to somebody else to watch. Whose tchum Shabbos are those peros subject to? Are they subject to the tchum Shabbos of the owner, or are they subject to the tchum Shabbos of the shomer? I gave them before Shabbos. So it says, well, let's bring a raya. So first we bring a raya from our Mishnah to Shmuel. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, someone has his peros in a different city. He has his peros in a different city, vim irev, who? And he makes an erev to go to that city, peros of kamohu. So his peros are subject to his own tchum Shabbos, and the bnei ir are allowed to bring him his peros. But v'yamr karagli mishev kidu etzlo. But if you can say that the whole pikadon is only like the it takes on the tchum status, status of the Shomer and not the Bailim, ki Irev hu mayhavi. What does it help that he made an Erev? The Peros are anyway Kiragle HaShomer. So it must be, you see from the Mishnah, that the Peros are Kiragle HaMafkid. They have the Tchum of the Bailim. And since he made an Erev, so those Peros can now be brought to him because it's all within his Tchum. Many of the Rishonim raised the question that L'chor the Gemara should have brought the Raya from the Reisha, the Mishnah, that the Reisha says that the Bnei Ir are not allowed to bring his Peros to him because he didn't make an Eruv. Right? That was the first halacha in the Mishnah. That if the guy didn't make an Eruv, the people in that city where the Peros are cannot bring the Peros to him, even though they did make an Eruv. Well, if it's Karagli HaShomer, why can't they bring the Peros to him? They're the Shomer. Let them bring the Peros to him. Right? So why didn't we bring a Raya from there? So Tosi Shonim and the Rashba says, no, because maybe that's not talking about where the Shomer made an Eruv. It's talking about other people made an Eruv. So if it's Karagli HaShomer, the Peros can't be brought to him because it's outside of the Shomer's Tchum. If no one made an Erev Tchum, if neither the Bailim nor the Shomer made an Erev Tchum to allow, so the Peros certainly can't travel back and forth from one city to the other. So that's why we dafka bring the Raya from the Seifa. So says Mar, is this Taka a good Raya? Amar Rav Huna, Amri Bei Rav, they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav that the Mishnah is not talking about Peros that are by another person to be Shomer. No, it's going Sheichad Lokeren Zavis. The Balabais left you a spot that you can keep your Peros in his house. But he never took on the Chiyuve Shmira of those Peros. He just said, yeah, you can use this corner of my house that I don't use, for your own storage. So in the Mishnah, the Peros are Karagle HaMafkid, they're Karagle HaBailim, because there is no Shomer. There's no one that ever accepted a Chayes, but maybe in a Chinami, that when there is a Shomer, the Peros take on the Tchum status of the Shomer himself. So Tashema says, well, let's bring another Raya, this time from the Seifa of the Mishnah. Misha Zime Netzlo Orchim. If someone invited guests from outside the Tchum Shabbos, and the guests had an Erev, and that's why they were allowed to travel to his house in the first place, lo yulichu biyadamanos, they're not allowed to bring home a pekalach with them, a food, ela imkein zikalahem mizonoseem me'erev yom tov. Unless you were mezaka, that food to them already on Erev Yom Tov. But viyam rekragli mishev kidu etzlo, ki zikalahem alideachar mehavi. But if you say that the Tchum Shabbos is that of the Shomer, what does it matter that you were mezaka to them even after the Zechiyah? You are the Shomer, meaning if I'm a Balabais and I'm having a whole bunch of company tomorrow, so I'm a Zaka, all the portions to the different to the different people that are going to be coming to my house. Good, so now they're the owners of those portions, but I'm the Shomer on those portions. So if you say that it's all Karagli HaShomer, it doesn't help to be Mezaka them, it should still be subject to my Tchum Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hachanami, Kibbutz Shazika Lamal Ideacher, Kimishi Yichado Karen Zavis Dami. Then no, once you're Mezaka Ideacher, it's as if you're not a real Shomer, it's as if you were Miyachid Karen Zavis, where it could be kept in your house. V'ibayaseima zika shayni. Or one might suggest that even if it's not considered like you gave him a spot in your house to keep those manos, and they really are a pikadon, but when you're mezaka to him, it's stronger than any other pikadon. Because why are you being mezaka the manos to them? What's the whole purpose of being mezaka the manos to them? The whole purpose of me being mezaka the manos to them before they come on Erev Yom Tov is because I want them to be able to take home doggy bags. I want them to be able to take home something afterwards. So clearly my intention the entire time is to give up the tchum of these items. Well, our shaila was when there's no clear intention of whose tchum the food should, the items or the food should be under. So that's where we had a shaila, the bailim or the shomer. But over here, the whole reason I'm doing this, the whole reason I'm being mezaki to them is so that they can bring it home with them so that it can be subject to their tchum. Rav Chanan bar Chanilai, then the Gemara tells a maisa that Rav Chanan bar Chanilai was a guest in another city, and he made an Erev to be able to travel back home on Yom Tov, and on Erev Yom Tov Tala Bisra Ba'avra Dadasha, he hung some meat by the doorway of the place where he was staying, of his host's home. Asal Kamed Rav Huna, so they went to Rav Huna to ask whether he's allowed to bring that meat home with him on Yom Tov, because he says, I have an Erev, so if the meat is subject to my own Tchum, I should be allowed to bring it home on Yom Tov, but I just don't know, I'm not sure, is it subject to my Tchum or the Tchum of my hosts, because it's in their house. So Amalei, I'atolos zil shakil. If you're the one that hung it there, then you're allowed to bring it home with you. Then it's subject to your tchum. But the inu talulach lo tishkal. If they're the ones that hung it by the door, then you're not allowed to take it home with you. Then it's subject to their tchum. The iu talam mi shakil. But wait a second. Just because he was talit, just because he hung up that meat, it means it's subject to his tchum. V'Rav Huna talmud de Rav Hava. But Rav Huna was a student of Rav. V'amar Rav karagli mi shifkidu etzlo. Rav holds that it takes on the tchum of the shomer. So So the shomer is the bailum of the house, is his host, it's not him. So why does the fact that he hung up the meat change the halacha? So it says Gemara, shiny avr the dasha, the kamishi chilokar and zavis tami. No, because when you hang it by the door, it's as if the bailum said, look, I don't want anything to do with it, but just leave it. You know, you could have this spot of my house to just leave it. So he's not taking any achrayus for it, and therefore clearly it belongs to the original bailum. And in this case, that original bailum is Rav Chana bar Chanilai. So Rav Chana bar Chanilai can go take his salamis home with him. I assume salamis, right? What are the meat you hang on? So he can go take his salamis home with him on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara brings questions from three different Mishnayos on the second half of Rav Huna's Pesach. Right? What was the second half of Rav Huna's Pesach? And if they're the ones that hung it by the doorpost, then you're not allowed to take it home with you. Says Gemara, challenge number one. Amalei Ravil Ravashi, V'inu talu le'lo shakil. Is that really true? If the hosts were the ones who hung the meat by the doorway, then Rav Chana bar Chanilai is not allowed to take it home with him. V'amar Shmuel shol shepatam, but didn't Shmuel say that if you have an ox that belongs to a person who's mefatim behemos to sell them, who fattens animals to sell them, hareu kiragli kol adam, it takes on the status of whoever buys that meat, because your machshav, the machshav of the patam the entire time was to put the shor in the rishus of whoever will buy it, and therefore will be subject to the tchum of whoever will buy it. So you see that if someone intends to put a chefetz in rishus of a kona, it's kiragli a kona. So why over here does Rav Huna say that if the butchers hang the meat for Rav Chana bar Chanilai, that Rav Chana bar Chanilai is not allowed to take it? The clearly their das in hanging that meat was that it should go to him. It's his meat that he should be able to take it home with him. So why is it any different than Shor Shel Patam? Then you have an ox that's by someone who fattens oxen, where clearly his intention is to give it to all of his customers, and therefore whichever customer buys it, that's the one who's Tchum Shabbos is going to be subject to. Rav Chana bar Chanilai is clearly the person who this salami is supposed to end up with, so Mela should be subject to his Tchum Shabbos. And a further challenge, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, a second challenge, V'inu Talei Lo Shakil, if they hung up the meat, so he's not allowed to take it. V'amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Dosa, but don't we pass on like Rabbi Dosa? Who's Rabbi Dosa? What was Rabbi Dosa? Back on Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, that a person gives a behemah on Yom Tov to the lone roa, the lone shepherd in the city, so the behemah is Karagle Aroa, takes on the Tchum status of the shepherd, because the das of every animal owner in the city is to give it to this shepherd. So you see that someone has had das to keep his objects in the rishus of someone else, so it's kona shvisa by that somebody else. So kolshkin over here, Rav Chana bar Chanilai, where the butchers hung up the piece of meat clearly for the sake of Rav Chana bar Chanilai. So obviously, therefore, it should be subject to the tchum of Rav Chana bar Chanilai. And then a third challenge, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, V'inu talulei lo shakil, if they hung it up for him, he's not allowed to take it. V'atanana behem of akelim, kiragle abaylim, that any object that is nigrar after the tchum of the baylim. So since these tabachim, these butchers, hung this for the sake of Rav Chana bar Chanilai, he's the baylim on the meat, and it should be kiragle abaylim, it should be subject to his tchum. That's how Rashi understands all of these questions. The other Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, wonder that the Mishnah is talking about a normal case of a behema and kelim that are in the Rishus of a Bailim on Erev Yom Tov. How's that last one a Raya at all? Meaning the last one just says, if you have kelim, your kelim are subject to your Tchum Shabbos. That's not the case we're talking about. Chana bar Chanilai, it was butchers cut the meat and hung the meat in their home for him. Right? So that's very different than, now I just have kelim in my house, so kelim are subject to my Tchum Shabbos. So Ben Chananel had a different girsa. The Ravashi was asking for the Mishnah Lam Zayin Amar Aleph that Shoel Kli Mechaveru on Erev Yom Tov, that it's Keragle HaShoel. So even though it's Pirushus HaMashil, that it's Keragle HaShoel. So a totally different girsa, that the third Raya is not just Stam about my kelim are subject to my Tchum. Shkayach, of course my kelim are subject to my Tchum. This is a case where it's more, where it's not as clear. So must be, says Rabbi Chanan, that there's another girsa over here, and the real Raya is from a case that's equally unclear. So because of all these kashas, though, the Gemara changes its mind from the original understanding of Rav Huna, that in the case where the butchers hung the meat, he's saying that it's also for Rav Chana bar Chanilai to take the meat because v'nisr tchumin, it can't be. It's not subject to the tchum of the butchers. It's subject to the tchum of Rav Chana bar Chanilai. No, you know what Rav Huna meant? El shayri Rav Chana bar Chanilai, dekav rabu hu v'tar b'shmaitei. The one thing Rav Huna knew about Rav Chana bar Chanilai was that he was a tremendous masmid. He was always very distracted in his learning. He wasn't able to focus on other things. things because he was always caught up in his learning. So sometimes people who are always thinking and learning are oblivious to what's going on around them. So he fit that criteria. Rav Chanan bar Chanilai fit that criteria. You hear stories of different Rosh Yeshiva and Talmid Chachamim where they can't drive because you know they can't focus on the road because they're just too focused in their learning. So they have to take away the license from them to you know let other people drive them. You know, so you have stories like this. Rav Chanan bar Chanilai was such a personality that he was so shakua in his learning that he just couldn't focus on other things, and therefore Hachi Kamilai I Atlis Islach Siman Begavet. This was a shaila of Basar Shenasalim in Ayin. That normally, if you had meat that didn't have any simanim on it, and you have, and it wasn't in a packaging with a seal, a tamper-proof seal or anything, and Goyim had access to it, so you have to assume that, or you have to be choshish rather, that someone switched it out, that they took a tray for salami and put it in the place of where your kosher salami was. So Rav Chanan bar Chanilai was told, if you're the one that hung the piece of meat yourself, so you eyeballed it, you saw it yourself, so v'lo maskos daitiminei, you probably didn't have a hezekadas from the meat, because anytime that you're actively involved in something, you're more likely to be focused on it. So zil shkol, so then you could take it because you saw it and you were actively involved. But the inu talalach, but if they're the ones that hung it for you and you never even saw the meat, you don't even have a clear recognition of the meat, masachta daitach, you're not focused on that meat, lo tishkol, so then you can't take it. Someone could have switched it out and you never would have known the difference. Now, even if someone could have switched it out and you're a masiach das, but if you recognize it, the alach basar shenasalim min ayin is if you're able to recognize the food, so that's good enough. If you've seen it before and you're able to recognize, someone just asked me a shayla yesterday that they had food delivered to their office, and as always, the helpful secretary unpackages everything and cuts through and then just presents it, you know, as is. So how am I supposed to tell the difference between this piece of pizza and that piece of pizza, you know, between this muffin and that muffin, between or this hamburger and that hamburger? So sometimes the etza is you take a picture with your phone and you send it to the mashkiach in the restaurant that supposedly it came from, and you say, Hakerna, is this the meat that you sent out of your restaurant? So if he has a tvias ayin on it, so it's kosher, so then he can say if he's able to recognize it. But if it's not something that he has a tvias ayin on, he's not able to recognize that it's theirs. We're not chushish that someone added in treif ingredients. That's not the chashash of basar shenasalim min ayin. The chashash is that someone switched it out for something else. Not that someone just decided to be mean and take like pork juice or something. I don't know if there's such a product, and pour it all over your hamburgers when you weren't looking. Okay, so. Says the Mishnah, last Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses muktza as far as behemos that you come to shecht on Yom Tov. What in the world are we talking about that for? So the Mi'iri explains that since previously we were talking about achnasas arachim and preparing food for guests, so we bring a Mishnah about preparing food. For presumably you need to prepare a lot of food when you have a lot of guests. Okay, so ein mashkin. You're not allowed to shecht animals that are midbarios, that go out into the midbar, but you're allowed to shecht animals that are more domesticated, that are commonly found around your house. On Yom Tov, obviously, we're talking about. The Gemara is going to explain why we mentioned mashkin. You're allowed to be mashke. The shayla is not about being mashke an animal. The shayla is about shechting the animal. Elin bayasos. So what is the definition of bayasos? Halanos be'ir. Those that sleep in the city. The animals that sleep inside the city. Midbarios are halanos ba'afar. The midbarios are those that sleep outside of the city. Now what about feeding animals in general? Is there an issue of feeding animals in general? So the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to feed midbarios on Yom Tov, the Pashut reading of the Mishnah, since a person is maksa daito from them on Erev. But behemos in your own house, you're allowed to feed them on Yom Tov because a person is not maksadaito from them. And that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch from Tav Sadi Zayin, that dogim and ofos that are muksa, you're not allowed to feed on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to put mezonos in front of them. It's a tashlich issue. Right? When people go to tashlich, sometimes they like to feed the fish that are in the pond. So if it's a public pond and it's not your personal achrayus to feed those animals, then you're not allowed to feed those animals on Yom Tov. So that's la halacha. We pass. And any behemoth that's not mechusar tzeda, you're allowed to give them mezonos. But if it's mechusar tzeda, so if I have fish in my fish tank, I'm allowed to feed the fish in my fish tank on Shabbos. They're not mechusar tzeda. I'm not afraid that they're going going to run away, right? But if you have fish in a lake or an ocean, so then you're not allowed to feed them because they could run away. They're not your responsibility, and they are mechusar tzeda. So based on that, that's the minhag, that we feed our animals in the house, but any animals that are not yours, that are not in your house, you're not supposed to feed. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah has a problem with the minhag that many people have on Shabbos Shira, that they put out food for the birds on Shabbos Shira. These birds are wild birds, and Amazon also Malacha. How can you go feed them on Shabbos Shira? So over here in New York, Shabbos Shira is in February. There are no birds. you can put out everything you want. The birds aren't eating anything. There aren't any birds. But in certain places, there actually are birds. So is it a problem of feeding them on Shabbos Shira? So some of the poskim try to defend the minhag. The Aruch HaShulchan defends the minhag, and he says, since we're not doing it for them, we're doing it for us, because everyone knows that the birds sang Shira Alayam, and therefore we're showing them Akaras HaTov, and therefore the purpose of feeding the birds is to enhance our own simcha in reliving the experience of the Shira Sayam. So it's not for the birds. We don't care really about the birds. So that is, we care about ourselves. So that's, we care about our own experience of Shira Sayam. So therefore there's no Isser. And he says that he quotes, or Chashulchan quotes, those who say that when your kavanah is l'shem mitzvah, it's mutter. I think the common practice nowadays is that the children come home with the bird feeders, and the parents, hang it up before Shabbos. They don't put it out on Shabbos. So, okay, I don't think people generally feed the birds. I don't know, maybe just here. I think that was always, the kids always came home with the bird feeders, and you put them up before Shabbos, and maybe there were birds, maybe there aren't birds. You tell the kids there are birds. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Why does it have to talk about being mashke the behemos, being mashke the midbarios? There's different ways in Rishonim how to read this, but pashtus is, it means that even being mashke the midbarios is mutter. So why does the Tana pick a lashon of hashka'a when it says what you're not allowed to do with the midbarios? That's how the Ran explains, because even the midbarios that we're talking about are mizonos and alecha. We're not talking about wild animals. We're talking about animals that hang out outside the city, but they're your animals, and therefore it's mizonosan alecha. But if you understand that midbarios means like just wild animals that don't belong to you, so then you're not allowed to feed them either. So, but why does it mention mashkin? Milsa agavorcha kamashmalan. The Tana is coming to tell me another important piece of information that I would not have known otherwise. That it's a good eitzah to give the animal to drink, to make sure the animal is very hydrated before you shecht it, because then the skin will come off much more easily. It will slide right off. Whereas if the animal is very dehydrated, so then the skin is not going to come off as easily. That's how Rashi and Rover the Rishonim understand. The Meiri says that the Yeshmi Shapiresh, that it means that when the behemoth is very thirsty, you're likely to find a lot of sirchos on the heart or on the lungs, and those sirchos aren't really a sign of nekev, of any hole. They just look like a sircha. They look like a problem on the lung, but it's deceiving. It's only because the animal is dehydrated. So much better to hydrate the animal so that you won't have false problems. So anyway, whatever the pshat is, but that's what the Mishnah is telling me, that it's a really good idea to give the animal to drink before you shecht it. Tanu Rabbanan, Eluin Midbarios. The following are Midbarios that you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov because they're Muktza. Ve'eluin Bayasos. And the following are Bayasos that you are allowed to shecht because they're not Muktza. Midbarios are called Sheyotzos Pesach V'roz Pa'afar. They go out on Pesach time to be to graze in a place outside of the city. V'nechnasos Per'via Rishona. And they come back during the first rains, the first rainy season. This is a Daf Yomi coincidence. Revir Rishona is in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. That's the time of Tchilas HaGeshamim. That's when the rain starts. So since they're outside of the city for a long time, you don't have das to access those animals on Yom Tov. Ve'eluin Bayasos, and the definition of Bayasos is Kol Sheyotzos V'roz Chutzotchum U'boz V'lonos B'tochatchum, that they go outside of the Tchum Shabbos to go graze, but then they come back to go to sleep at night within the Tchum Shabbos. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, you know what? Elu ve'elu Bayasos, saying even that first category would be considered Bayasos. If they go out and they come back by the Revi'a Rishona, they come back by Mar Cheshvan, that's close enough access that it's not Muktza. Ella Elu hein Midbarios. No, you want to know what Midbarios are. Kol Sheyotzos V'roz Ba'afar Ve'einich Nosos Yishuv Lo Bimos HaChama V'lo Bimos HaGeshamim, that which goes out to graze in the wherever they graze outside of the city, and they don't come back, not in the summertime nor in the wintertime. They're out there grazing all the time. Only that's considered midbar yos, where you're maksa daitomina. So miyaslay the Rebbe muksa. Wait a second. Does Rebbe even hold of muksa that would lead him to say that you're not allowed to shecht even the midbar yos? Meaning the impression you're getting over here is Rebbe's telling you, let me define midbar yos for you so you can know what you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. But wait, Rebbe has a very limited definition of muksa where almost nothing is muksa. So midbar yos shouldn't be muksa according to Rebbe. Because v'abay minei, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, may Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Rebbe asked Rebbe, patz'ilei tamara, if you have dates that are not able to fully ripen on the tree. So they would take them off the tree and they would put them in certain kalim that are called chosalos. And in the chosalos is where they would ripen. And Rabbi Shimon Rebbe had a suffix. The Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there's no isra muksa in most situations, that the isra muksa is very, very limited. Mahu, are these dates muksa? Do they fit within his definition of muksa? So Rebbe responded, ein muksa the Rabbi Shimon, ela grogros etzimokin, bilvat, that no, the only thing that's muksa according to Rabbi Shimon are peros that were edible, and then you put on the roof to go dry, for those peros to go dry. That's muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. Only such things, grogros etzimokin, that you were docha biyadayim, they were roi, and then biyadayim, you put them to become inedible on a rooftop somewhere. But these tamarim that never ripened, they were never edible. So you never maksabi adayim. You never pushed them away. You never rejected them. So that's a different story. Tulsa has a different understanding of what patzile tamara is. Tulsa says lo nihira de patzile tamara lo mashmach. He said the words don't seem to fit how we're explaining patzile tamara. He says pirusha davi pagi tamara shesovan lios nigbar muntuka niyafa yafa vadayin lo nispashlu. These are peros that will be very sweet one day. They do have the capacity to become very sweet. They're just not ripened yet. So they would approach the nose and achas hashayim besakin. They would cut them in half and then put them on the rooftop to dry out. And that's not like grogros tzimokin, because you were never docha biyadayim, because you put them on the rooftop before they ever became edible. But they would have become edible. But it's the same idea. Meaning the idea is that there's a chiluk between grogros tzimokin on the one hand and patzilei tamar on the other hand. In that grogros tzimokin was something that was ra'ui and you were docha biyadayim. That's where Rabbi Shimon's going to say muktzah. But something that was never ra'ui to begin with, Rabbi Shimon's not going to say muktzah. But bottom line is, the fact that Rebbe is talking within Shitas Rabbi Shimon tells you that he holds like Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So why does Rebbe have a problem with shechting the behemos hamidbarios? After all, they're not muktzah. Three answers. Number one, Iba Yosema, Hani Nami Krogos Itzimokin Dami. That maybe these behemos hamidbarios are like Krogos Itzimokin because they were ra'ui and you sent them out of the city. So now you were docha biyadayim. Answer number two, Iba Yosema, the Dvarv Rabbi Shimon Kamer Vlelo Svirle. Just because Rebbe was talking and learning with his son about what Rabbi Shimon would hold about Batzilei Tamara doesn't mean that he holds like Rabbi Shimon. It could be that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. He was just talking and learning with his son. And third answer, Viva Yosema, it could be that Rebbe does hold like Rabbi Shimon. And when Rebbe was arguing the finer points of what's considered midbarios and what's not considered midbarios, it didn't make a difference to Rebbe. Rebbe would hold none of them are muktzah anyway, no matter how you define midbarios. But Lidvarim Drabanan Kamerlu, he was talking to the Rabbanan Lishitasam, Lididi Ein Muktzah. According to me, no animals are muktzah. If you own those animals, I don't care where they are, I don't care if they never come back to the city, they're not muktzah. El Lididhu, but according to you, Oduli Mias, Heichat Yosros, Pepes. The Bayasos say, at least admit to me that if they come back during Mar Cheshvan, that they're going to be Bayasos, that they're not going to be Midbarios. And the Rabbanan say, no, we disagree. We think that that's called Midbarios if they go out and they only come back during Mar Cheshvan. Hydrolok, Mashin, Peris, Siglam, Mesach, Beis, Mazel Tov, everybody. Tomorrow we begin Mesaches Rosh Hashanah. Mazel Tov.